The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And this is, of course, Dr. Z. I'll be your host today, discussing health, wellness, and issues in alternative medicine today. Keep in mind, you can always reach us at our websites. At Dr. Kamai's website is naturalnurse.com, and mine is Dr. Z Naturally. That's drznaturally.com. Well, today we're going to have a very awesome guest, and his name is Ken Babel, and he is the author of Mushrooms for Health and Longevity, and that's put out by the Books Alive group. So it's a very interesting natural health guide, which discusses the effects of mushrooms for boosting immunity, strength, sexual function, fighting cancer, heart disease, and memory loss, and even what I'm interested in, reducing inflammation and using it for autoimmune disease. So I'm going to be talking with Ken about that. Now, Ken does a lot of consulting with the natural food and supplement industry and practices in Los Angeles as a certified nutrition. He's written lots of articles, including in the Townsend Letter and other journals. He's also the author of three books: Seafood Sense, The Truth About Seafood, Nutrition and Safety. That's an interesting one. I want to check that out. Maybe we'll have Ken back after this and read that one. Good Digestion, Your Key to Vibrant Health, and Mushrooms for Health and Longevity. And welcome, Ken.
Glad to be with you.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about why you got interested in mushrooms.
Well, you know, mushrooms are unique. First of all, you know, they've been around for thousands of years, particularly in Asia, where they've been revered both as food and medicine. And you know, you think about it, they're not a vitamin. You know, they're not an herb. They fall into this unique category, which we sometimes call the third kingdom, and that's the fungal family.
A lot of people get wary when you hear about mushrooms. They hear of mushroom poisonings. I think you even go over this in your book here, mushroom poisonings, or they think of mushrooms like parasites, or they have candida. Their doctor said they have candida growing in their body and hasn't recommended that they take more fungus in their body, or they think of athlete's foot or moldy fruit or cleaning out their fridge. Anyway,
right.
Tell us a little bit about mushrooms, their biology and morphology.
Well, yes, you know, they have been regarded with suspicion at times throughout history. You know, people, you're right about, you know, when people think of a fungus, you know, they think of mildew and shower stalls and moldy bread and that sort of thing. But after all, you know, penicillin comes from a mold. And their biology is unique. You know, when you think about it, actually their DNA more closely resembles humans than it does plants. They mimic human respiration by taking in oxygen and giving off carbon dioxide, just the way we do, which is the opposite of plants. Even early cancer researchers were skeptical of mushrooms because they had some similar characteristics. You know, they were fast-growing and parasite-like. But as it turns out, they are demonstrating a wonderful immune-enhancing quality. And people may not realize it, but the all-time best-selling anti-cancer drug is a mushroom extract.
Now, you mentioned in your book that mushrooms are in a third kingdom. So they're not really plants, even though people throw them in a salad. They're here on Earth to fulfill a certain niche, like to basically decay leaves and plants and stumps and kind of recycle. They're the great recyclers of our world.
That's true, yes. They perform a very important function in that respect. You know, they feed off dead and decaying plant life, so they do help to recycle and maintain an ecological balance in our forests.
Now, many people know of mushrooms as foods, and interestingly enough, one of my colleagues, Dr. Mars, Russell Mars out in Oregon, he's working with some other mushroom, I guess, enthusiasts, or what they call mycologists, and found out that if you turn the mushroom upside down, it actually makes a tremendous amount of vitamin D when it's exposed to the sun. And so that now they're coming up with a vegetarian source of vitamin D from mushrooms, and that's incredible. And I think you mentioned it in your book too. And so we know of mushrooms as, you know, we like mushrooms maybe cooked with garlic or sautéed or something like that, but you're finding that they're very valuable nutritionally.
Yes, you're right about that. They, as a matter of fact, they are the only vegetarian source of vitamin D other than sunlight. They have a precursor to vitamin D. It's called ergosterol. And that is converted into the active form of vitamin D, very similar to like beta carotene in plants, which is the precursor to vitamin A. And what some of the mushroom companies doing now are just briefly exposing them to light to convert that vitamin D into the active form. And so you can buy these mushrooms that, you know, a serving will give you 100% of your daily value for vitamin D.
Wow. That's fabulous, because we're finding that so many patients are low in D, and certainly
it is.
With,
you know,
people, yep.
I mentioned the immune-enhancing property of mushrooms, but if they're also providing vitamin D, you know, that's even an added benefit, because as you know, vitamin D is one of the most exciting anti-cancer nutrients right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, like you mentioned before, for years, mushrooms were used as great qi and other tonics in traditional Chinese medicine, which I'm trained in, so I know quite a bit about how we use mushrooms. But previous to the old timers in TCM, the Emperor Shennong and the Yellow Emperor and things like that, they actually found mushrooms in caveman. I think you mentioned a fact in your book that the Iceman was carrying mushrooms.
Right. About 10 years ago, there was a man discovered in the Alps, frozen, and they called him the Iceman, and this was the oldest intact bodies ever discovered. And on his person, he was carrying three different types of mushrooms, and apparently he found them very important and necessary for his trek over the Alps.
Yeah, one of my students.
So we know thesis, that they, you know, they've been people have been using them, you know, for centuries.
One of my students did his thesis on the effect of mushrooms, and even found some anthropological evidence that they were used well in prehistoric ages. I guess maybe for medicine, or perhaps for food, or who knows what. But nonetheless, there certainly are something interesting that Americans use only a small percentage of mushrooms in their classic diet or their traditional standard American diet. And there's many other mushrooms that they potentially should try in their diet. For instance, shiitake can be used in the diet quite readily. Do you cook with shiitake?
Yes. One of my favorite mushroom dishes is just to saute some sliced shiitakes with some garlic.
Some of the shiitakes have been shown to be very powerful. You mentioned in the book that it goes back to even the Ming Dynasty, and I'm sure even before then, when they were used to boost the patient's qi and fend off various ailments. And of course, that research was ancient. The Japanese have pursued quite a bit of research on cancer therapy with shiitake. Can you elaborate on some of that?
Right. And shiitake is Japan's number one agricultural export, but also shiitake has a couple of extracts have status as cancer treatments. They're used as a complementary cancer drug. But, you know, this is all based on their traditional use, as you say, in Chinese folk medicine to activate blood flow and boost qi and fend off ailments and cancerous growths, colds, flu, and so on. In some of the research, the shiitake has shown a remarkable ability to inhibit tumor growth in mice. But, you know, one of the mushrooms that's actually eclipsing shiitake is maitake. And there's been some studies where they actually compared the two. And particularly with this extract known as defraction. And then this is something, you know, that can be obtained in your local health food store, you know, for supporting immunity, whether it's colds or flu, whatever.
And, so they call maitake the, what do they call it, the lions?
Oh, no, that's they call it the king of mushrooms.
The king of mushrooms, right.
Right, because it these clusters of maitake can grow so large, you can find a cluster that weighs over 100 pounds. And maitake, you could start to find now in some of the markets as well, available fresh and dried.
Maitake means dancing mushroom, you say in your book, and you find that it's a delicious mushroom, like you said, a giant mushroom. But the research on that's very interesting. So, why don't you talk about some of the more modern research on maitake and its use of cancer that you talk about on page 22 in your book here?
Sure. Well, maitake has been highly valued. In fact, in Japan, in the feudal era, you can exchange maitake for equal weight in silver. It was that valuable.
Wow.
And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, all of these exotic mushrooms, whether it's shiitake or maitake, reishi, and so on, they have this common property of enhancing immunity. Maitake, and particularly the defraction, the extract, appears to be particularly effective at that. And I'm talking about cellular immunity, enhancing white blood cell activity, such as macrophages and natural killer cells and B cells. And as it turns out, there are receptors on our white blood cells for a polysaccharide that is found in maitake and many of these other mushrooms. Now, most people may think of polysaccharides and carbohydrates for energy, but as it turns out, they're involved in cellular communication. Mm. So when we consume the mushrooms or the mushroom extracts, They help to activate the white blood cells. And this may be one of the best things, drug or natural product, for this type of cellular immunity.
Yeah, you mentioned that even in some advanced cancer studies, when people were in stage 3 or 4 cancers, that the maitake D fraction in a very high amount, we're not talking about amount that you can get from eating the mushrooms. A lot of these mushroom extracts, am I wrong, Ken, are really concentrated, so that they take like a huge 100-pound mushroom and they kind of condense the active polysaccharides down into what you would get in a single bottle?
Right. Certainly there are benefits to including mushrooms, you know, in your diet routinely, but if you're looking for more of a medicinal effect, then you would probably want to go to a mushroom extract. For example, the maitake D fraction, that's the product of choice for immune activation. And in the study that you referred to, the patients were taking both a dried maitake powder and tablet form, as well as the D fraction. And the D fraction concentrates, you know, the immune enhancing component of the mushroom.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think now I've read some with leukemia pros and cons potentially of using mushrooms. In writing the book, did you go through any of the literature? I actually had a patient this weekend with leukemia that I'm working with, CLL, the chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And they just basically wrote the guy off and said, you know, pack your bags, you're going, so to speak.
Mm.
It's a terrible thing. So I found a lot of literature, different trials that have been done on, you know, green tea and curcuma, trials done on Chinese medicine, trials done on other nutrients that we got them on immediately instead of just some remedies. But I was thinking about the mushrooms, thinking, I'm not sure if they would be appropriate for that type of cancer.
Well, I think the as far as leukemia, the research is rather limited right now. But one that you might look into is cordyceps.
Well, let's talk about that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe there is some evidence supporting its use in treating leukemia.
Okay, so what's cordyceps? That's that strange mushroom that. Oh, and for those who want to see cordyceps, go on YouTube and punch in cordyceps, CORDYCEPS, and you can watch different videos of cordyceps growing. It's the most bizarre thing because this mushroom actually is one of those parasitic mushrooms that will take over the body of a particular insect or caterpillar or cicada or something like that, and then grow and grow and grow until it actually just kind of pops out of the patient's body like a movie, like that movie Alien.
Right.
One of my students, actually the guy I was telling you about, one of my students who did his doctoral thesis on mushrooms, and I was his advisor, showed me that as we were just, you know, playing around one day and just chatting, and boy, I was amazed at that. But you're saying that this cordyceps mushroom shows great promise in various maladies.
Right, and a couple of the areas where it's often used, it's a wonderful sexual tonic. Although it's not something that's quick acting, you know, it's best used routinely. It's a good choice for energy and physical work. In fact, it was used by some world-class Chinese athletes in World Games in 1993, where they shattered 9 world records. And they attributed their success to their training program and their use of the cordyceps. And it's said to strengthen lung power. It's recommended as a tonic for recovering from illness or operation or giving birth, something like that. And surprisingly, which you mentioned early on, it's used to treat fungal and yeast infections. Which might seem counterintuitive.
That I remember, yeah, that it's actually important to use when someone has an overgrowth of yeast or fungus, or somebody like a patient with HIV. This would be one that you may want to encourage them to use. Now, it's very expensive, so is this mushroom, have they found anything that, you know, they could extract the mushroom and keep the cost down, or do they actually have to get it right from the mushroom? Can they synthesize
it? Well, nowadays it's mostly being cultivated.
Oh, okay, because it used to be one of the most highly treasured mushrooms, almost like finding a wild ginseng in the woods in China, almost impossible.
Right.
How would one use this particular mushroom, Ken?
Well, this would be best taken in supplement form, and you know, taken as a capsule or tablet.
And you take a couple grams a day, or how does it usually come in milligrams?
Well, I don't think it would be a couple of grams; it would be less than that. But you know, you'd follow the recommendation for the particular product you have. Most likely that would be about 4 tablets a day. I know Mushroom Wisdom, for example, offers a cordyceps, and I think that's about right. It'd probably be about more closer to a gram, I would suspect.
Yeah, I'd like to read that research. I'm looking in the book of that research on leukemia here. I'd love to. Maybe I'll go online and look at that. Maybe you could send me a link. But I'm looking at the time, and it's a little after the half hour, and I think we have to take a break for a station ID. So again, just joining us, we're talking with Ken Babel, and he is the author of Mushrooms, Natural Medicine for the 21st Century, talking about how various mushrooms will enhance immunity, prevent tumor growth, fight bacterial infections, reduce inflammation, improve athletic performance, and even maybe potentially help leukemia. We'll talk more about turkey tail, mushroom, enoki, lion's mane, reishi, and a couple other ones when we return. So stay tuned right here. Back to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, your host, and we're having a great discussion with Ken Babel, and he is the author of Mushrooms for Health and Longevity. We're talking about mushrooms, not only that you can eat, but also medicinal mushrooms, some of the great Chinese and other practitioners from the Orient have used mushrooms for thousands of years and have sort of popularized them around the world, particularly for, you know, Westernized TCM practitioners, and we're trying to get mushrooms more into our culture. I think that would be kind of, was that one of the reasons why you wrote this book, Ken, is, you know, you want to educate people so that they feel more comfortable using mushrooms on a regular basis?
That's true, yes, and I think they've been undervalued, but in the last 20, 30 years now, there's been a lot of research substantiating their medicinal benefits, and this is something important people need to know about, I'm optimistic now because mushrooms are actually starting to cross over into mainstream medicine now. And some of the cancer clinics are incorporating the mushroom extracts as part of their complementary treatment.
Yes, like some of my students I've trained and colleagues at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, which are kind of around the country, they've used mushrooms as part of their Super 7 treatment. In other words, what are the seven essential things that most cancer patients should be taking? And mushroom extract, and they usually recommend a blend of several of these mushrooms that we've been discussing, so that I guess you get the benefit, the polysaccharides, you mentioned that name. I guess those are the sugars, kind of the natural starches that are found in the mushrooms. And one thing I like about your book is not only are the pictures awesome so you can see the mushrooms firsthand, but on page 14 you have a nice little table of the types of mushrooms. I think you got, we have several of them here. You have at least a dozen of these mushrooms or so, and their activity in the body, which ones have been helpful as an antioxidant, which ones are good for allergies, athletes could benefit from some of these mushrooms, which ones are benefit. By the way, every one for cancer is checked. Every mushroom we talked about today, and we'll continue with the rest of the program, have been looked at for cancer, which is amazing, and immune enhancement. So that's benefit. Now, I do a lot of work, Ken, with arthritis, inflammation, and autoimmune disease. I have a best-selling book with Dr. Kamai called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide. And I've noticed that many of these mushrooms don't actually stimulate the immune system, but they kind of balance it in a way that only herbs can do and mainstream medicine just doesn't do. A lot of these drugs that are used for rheumatoid arthritis and psoriasis and lupus and even ulcerative colitis now, many of the drugs like Enbrel and Remicade and Humira, these biological response modifying drugs, they will basically turn your immune system off or blunt your immune system so that you stop attacking your joints, but at the same time you can't attack viruses, you can't attack tuberculosis bacilli, you can't attack many, many things, and virtually you are trading one disease for the other. What I love about mushrooms is that they have a balancing effect on the body, and you don't have to trade one disease for the other. Can you comment on that and your use of mushrooms as a nutritionist in your practice?
Right. You know, many of these mushrooms have adaptogenic properties, and just like the name implies, they help us to adapt to various stressors and restore altered body conditions back to normal. And particularly in the case of reishi, which is recognized for what we describe as double direction activity, which, you know, if the immune system is overactive, such as in the case of, you know, autoimmune disease, it helps to calm the immune system down.
And, yes, reishi is called the mushroom of immortality, and again has been used as an anti-aging herb and improving the mind and memory. You quote different studies that show it to be almost a tonic that invokes peacefulness, helps the shen, or what they call the spirit in Chinese medicine. Not really the spirit that survives death, sort of, but your kind of mind-body, earthly spirit. And also, very important for autoimmune disease by balancing, or like you mentioned, as an adaptogen, or what we call in herbal medicine, an amphoteric, something that balances the immune system, whether it's high or low, And even, and you mentioned, here's another one you mentioned here that it may be helpful for leukemic cells. So these are a couple of them. And also that there's literature that says that it may help with myasthenia, which I actually have a patient in Long Island where I'm, you know, going to be seeing actually in a couple of weeks with myasthenia, looking for some new answers. We've done some great work with using homeopathy with her and things like that. But this is good to know about the reishi.
Right. And it does have some well-researched anti-inflammatory constituents. For example, something called ganoderic acid, and which is compared favorably with the steroidal anti-inflammatory drug prednisone.
Very interesting. So you can get your inflammation down without prednisone, potentially using reishi. And of course, there's also quite a bit of research on fasting and doing cleansing, and also its activity on on that. Now, there's a really cool looking mushroom here. I'm looking at these pictures because one thing that's nice, again, you have great color pictures in the book, so you can actually see what these mushrooms, and that's the one that's the lion's mane. And you look at this thing, it looks like a lion's mane or like a Rastaman or Cousin It from the Addams Family. One of the three. Use your imagination. But wow, the lion's mane is a beautiful mushroom. And again, that usually grows in Asia. And by the way, you can probably grow a lot of these mushrooms yourself. I've actually grown shiitake and reishi, not commercially, but just for myself, by going to different websites and buying the spores. And then I have, you know, quite a bit of property. And I, you know, get some old logs and drill holes in them. And then I just put the spores in and then pack them full with the sawdust. And that, you know, in the next couple of years, boom, I get a nice array of mushrooms. But you don't really have to go to that trouble if you don't want to. You could just get these things sometimes at the local health food store, sometimes at your shop in Chinatown, or certainly buy the extract. But tell us a little bit about this lion's mane.
Lion's mane is a very exciting mushroom. It might be hard to find in markets, but it is available as an extract. And this is something that has been shown to stimulate nerve growth factor. Nerve growth factor is something that is important for the maintenance, survival, and regeneration of nerve cells during adult life. As a matter of fact, discovery of nerve growth factor won a Nobel Prize back in the 1980s. So researchers have been looking for ways, since you can't really administer the nerve growth factor except probably by injection, they're looking for ways to stimulate the body's production of nerve growth factor. And wouldn't you know it, lion's mane is one of the few things, the only thing that I'm aware of that is able to stimulate nerve growth factor. So this is showing great potential in preventing and treating neurological diseases, particularly dementia and so on.
And then you mentioned here that they isolated the compound from lion's mane called amiloban.
Amiloban,
thank you. And that slows down the plaques that you find in the, you know, we think plaques are just found in atherosclerosis, the plaques in your artery, so to speak. But they find particular plaques histologically in the brains of patients that develop Alzheimer's disease. They call those beta amyloid plaques, and this medicine has been shown to help stop that. And they did it on animal studies. I don't know if they've done it on, well, they have actually had some human studies. We'll get into those in a sec. But in the first animal studies, they gave this thing, and it looks like they did pretty well in their memory and behavior thing. And then they looked at their brain and they had less of those plaques and more of that, what's it called, nerve growth factor again, Ken?
Right, yes.
Interesting. What about the human studies on it?
Yeah, well, the interest was sparked when a rehabilitative hospital in Japan started putting lion's mane mushroom in the soup of their patients every day.
Wow.
I think about 5 grams. And they found that after several weeks, the patients were able to become more independent and feed themselves, dress themselves, and bathe themselves. So that was the beginning of it. And there was a rat study done where they created this Alzheimer's disease model in the rats, and then they gave them either Aricept, this Alzheimer's disease drug, or they gave them the lion's mane extract called Amiloban, and then they subjected them to this water maze test, and they found that the lion's mane extract performed as good or better as the go-to Alzheimer's disease drug. And when they sacrificed the rats, they found that, as you say, their brains had more of the nerve growth factor.
This is very important, because this is what's going to bankrupt, one of the things that's going to bankrupt our country if we don't sort of really do preventive care, is to get these types of new medications in all the assisted living facilities and educate the not only the nursing staff and the geriatricians to start using these things as tonics, but also the patients themselves. And it's interesting, what I love about this and your book, as we get closer, unfortunately, to the top of the hour when we have to stop, is that you also provide some interesting recipes to use mushrooms. All the mushrooms we discussed today, many of them can be part of our diet, and I guess you being in the nutrition field and probably a chef yourself, or at least, you know, you find that, you know, Hippocrates said food is medicine and medicine is food. I love the way that you buttress all this factual studies with real live and beautifully laid out recipes. I mean, I would eat any of these things. These are gorgeous, the pictures. Whomever did the photography for your book is just incredible. And so it's really nice that when shopping, you can, you know, teach people to get the mushrooms. And that's a point that I want to bring up. Do the mushrooms have to be fresh, and how long do they last in the refrigerator before they go bad? And what types of advice can you give to people when they want to maybe try some of these recipes? And we'll give a few of them out before we close.
Well, the fresh mushrooms are good just for a few days in the fridge, and it's best to just keep them loosely wrapped, you know, in some paper towels or a paper bag, and incorporate them into your soups and stir fries. And one of the recipes I most often get comments about are the spring rolls.
Wow, that looks good. I just turned to that page here. Page 42 here. How do you make these spring rolls, Ken? Give us an idea.
Well, I have to go back and look at the recipe here, too. But
basically, you take in enoki mushrooms, which we didn't really talk about too much. Those are
the long ones.
They look like little buttons on a long stem. Enoki. Tell us a little about enoki before we share that recipe.
Yeah, those are the, I think they call them the needle mushrooms.
Right.
And, you know, enoki, you know, you could find those often in the markets. And, you know, the research is still early with Enoki, but it's demonstrating some of the same immune-enhancing properties, you know, as the shiitake and the maitake. It contains compounds that lower cholesterol and blood pressure levels. Mm. And it helps with the production of nitric oxide, which is going to help to lower the blood pressure.
Oh. So let me give that recipe here. So basically you take the enoki and about 2 ounces and roughly 6 fresh shiitakes and a little olive oil, and you need some rice noodles and the 8 large rice paper wrappers. And then you get your tofu, which you cut into slices, and then you get your romaine lettuce and a little cilantro and mint, and basically put them together and roll it up into a nice spring roll, and you make your own nice dipping sauce there with soy sauce or Bragg's liquid aminos, perhaps, water, a little bit of sugar or something like that, lemon juice, and something to spice it up there. Beautiful. Unbelievable recipe and very pretty picture laid out there. And then also just sauteing the mushrooms is a nice way to do with just your classic olive oil, garlic. I actually harvested, I think it was the lion's mane, which I think is the maitake, right?
No, lion's mane is different from maitake.
Right. I got some maitake out of my woods, and that was good, but I'm actually talking about the Coriolis or the turkey tail, which really isn't one that you can really cook with. It's kind of tough, but there's quite a bit of healing medicine that they've studied from this particular mushroom, which has the polysaccharide known as PSK, which a lot of research has been done on this. I think it's the most well-researched one in the cancer clinics, the turkey tail, and that grows very nicely all over cooler climates in the United States here.
Right, yeah, turkey tail is what we call it in North America, and it is the source of the PSK, which is the all-time best-selling anti-cancer drug.
So in summary, looking at your book, Ken, leave us with a little bit of information or tell us how to get your book and just encouragement for people. You know, this is a nice self-help series book, gives you healing foods and herbs, healthy recipes, and teaches you how you can perhaps start incorporating mushrooms into your diet, but it's very overwhelming. There's so many types of mushrooms. I mean, just today we discussed 10 or so. Where would someone start if they're new to mushrooms or still have a little bit of trepidation?
Mm. Well, I'm sure when they start to read about them, they're going to find one that appeals to them, and whatever aspect of their health they're concerned about. But what a person can do would be to, they can alternate and try different mushroom supplements and extracts. As you say, not all of them are, you know, you can cook with. For example, reishi is just too tough and
right,
woody
to cook with. Or cordyceps you really can't cook with.
Yeah.
Or the chaga. These are ones that you really can't cook with, yeah.
Yeah, so those, you know, you would want to take in supplement form. And I would suggest try alternating or get yourself a mushroom blend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it contains all of these mushrooms we've been talking about.
Now, your website is Nutrition Musician. Are you a musician, Ken?
I am. I
what
play
do you
drums.
Play?
I'm a drummer.
Is that right? So am I. We should have talked about that. Oh, next time. I'm in a band, too. So next time, Ken, when you keep us in mind and keep up your good work writing. Again, nutritionmusician.com is Ken's website. Pick up his book or probably any good bookstore online or unfortunately, we're losing our bookstores left and right to the online thing and everything like that. But nonetheless, this is a nice little guide to have. Mushrooms for Health and Longevity. Ken, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, and that's a wrap for this edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. See you next week. Bye-bye.